Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, on this Thursday, December 14th, 2017. We are just 11 days away from the start of Christmas, and I hope everything is going well with you and that you are not succumbing to the stress and the depression so often accompanied with the holidays. Today on The Cross in the Desert, I want to introduce you to a biblical concept that is so beautiful and yet not taught enough about. And I'm talking about the future millennial reign of Christ. And this is going to be a 1,000-year reign on the earth when Christ returns, where there will be unprecedented peace and harmony for that 1,000 years. And I'm going to explain all about this marvelous biblical concept, but first I want you to hear this song by Matt Redman that talks about this beautiful prophecy found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, which is the subject of our program today. His name shall be. Let's listen to Matt.
Face. So glory in the highest.
A beautiful song of Christmas worship to begin our program today. Matt Redman, I want to quote to you the beautiful Christmas prophecy that Matt is referring to, and it is so rich in meaning. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. This baby born in a manger was God manifested in the flesh. The titles give reference to his royal deity: Wonderful Counselor, El Gabor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. In other words, the originator of eternity. He is the Prince of Peace. But remember something about him. Jesus came into Jerusalem, and he was heralded as a conquering hero. They put palm branches down in front of him, but his disciples didn't understand that first the Messiah had to suffer, and then 1,000 years reign would come in the very long-term future. They didn't understand the concept of a suffering Messiah. They were heralding Jesus as a political Messiah. And we're going to talk today about this concept of the future millennial reign of Christ. On our last broadcast, I explained to you what God said would happen to his capital, Jerusalem, in the latter days, that he would make Jerusalem a cup of trembling, that all nations would be stirred up by the fact of Jerusalem. And when these nations would come against Jerusalem in the latter days, God would annihilate and destroy them. So we've heard nothing but about violence and chaos in the Middle East and Israel. But there is coming a day when Christ will return, and he will reign in Jerusalem. On David's throne, there will be 1,000 years of peace. Jesus said it best the night before his crucifixion: "My peace I give to you. My peace is a perfect gift that I give to my disciples." That peace we haven't seen, though. We have seen nothing but chaos and fighting and death and violence. What I want to do this morning is explain to you this glorious future millennial reign of Christ based on the passage that we just read from Isaiah 9:6, which is a favorite Christmas passage of so many Christians. So I'm going to read to you the various scriptures that speak about this promised future millennial reign. Let's first turn to the book of Isaiah again, chapter 2. "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, 'Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their plowswords. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.'" It's interesting that the figure spoken about here in Isaiah chapter 2, beating the swords into plowshares, is a monument that you will find at the United Nations. Even the United Nations, which is a group of ruling people, if you will, that have been very anti-Semitic, even they understand the import of this incredible passage. And we read Isaiah 9:6, and we're going to go on now to Micah chapter 4. "And it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall decide for strong nations far away, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of the hosts has spoken. For all peoples walk, each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. So Micah chapter 4 is a retelling, if you will, of Isaiah chapter 2. But I want to take us now to the book of Revelation, to a much debated passage which explains in so many ways the concept of the future millennial reign of Christ. Chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the pit and shut it and sealed it over him so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was commanded. Also I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or on their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second power has no, second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. A beautiful, beautiful passage. Much debated, but if you take the Bible from the grammatic, historical, interpretive means, then you have to conclude that this happens after Christ returns, the 1,000-year millennial reign, where there will be peace and justice on this planet, beginning in Jerusalem, for 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." I want you to understand that this concept of a future millennial reign is the theme that we find in the various prophecies and specifically in the New Testament. What is the purpose of the millennium? Well, first of all, it's a 1,000-year reign of Jesus, which takes place after the tribulation and before all the people of the world are sent to either heaven or hell. Jesus will reign as king over Israel, as well as all the nations of the world. The world will live in peace. Satan will be bound. And at the beginning, everyone will worship God. The purpose of the 1,000-year reign is to fulfill promises God made to the world that cannot be fulfilled while Satan is free and humans have political authority. Some of these promises, they're called covenants, were specifically given to Israel. Others were given to Jesus, the nations of the world, and creation. All of these will be fulfilled during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. The Davidic covenant is one that will be fulfilled. It will never die out, and David's heir would sit on the throne of Israel forever. Jesus is the fulfillment of that covenant. because of his genealogy. And the Jews understood this. Remember, I told you when they laid palm branches down and their cloaks as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, they expected him to be a military political leader that would liberate them from the Romans and make Israel a great nation again. But they didn't understand the atonement, the nature of Jesus' work at that time for the new covenant, not the Davidic covenant. The thousand-year reign will be the beginning of Jesus' eternal reign over Israel and the earth, which we just read about in Revelation chapter 20. Now, the new covenant pertaining to Jesus' death and resurrection, which reconciles hearts to God, has been accomplished. But we have not yet seen the complete fulfillment. Jeremiah chapter 31:33 says, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Ezekiel chapter 36:28 gives more specifics. "You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." Isaiah 59, verses 20 through 21, explains that this covenant is possible because of the Redeemer, and the reconciliation he provides will last forever. This covenant does not mean that every Jew is going to be saved, but it does mean that Israel, as a nation, will worship their Messiah. The Old Testament prophets who spoke of this covenant, which we've read about in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, and Ezekiel, all wrote that it will be fulfilled in the future. From their time on, Israel has yet to be an independent nation that worshiped its Messiah, and they will be in the thousand-year reign of Christ. So the purpose of the millennium is this covenants made with Israel are being fulfilled. The Davidic covenant, the remainder of the new covenant. The purpose of the thousand-year reign is to fulfill the prophecies given to Israel and the promises made to Jesus, the nations, and the whole earth. And so it is very important that we read the Bible in this way, that we understand Scripture in this way. Going back to our Bible passage, the government will rest on his shoulders. Christ is given the title of Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus came to earth to bring peace between God and man in a relational sense, to accomplish salvation and reconcile God to his creation. He came to bring peace between God and man, but in the future, there will be a literal recognition of that peace where the Jewish people who have been blinded for so many thousands of years will have their eyes open to their Messiah, and they will come to Jerusalem to worship Christ. His rule, it talks about, is fair and just. His government and its peace will never end. Isaiah 9:6 is not only about the birth of the Messiah, but the work that he will accomplish and the thousand-year reign he will bring to this earth. God said he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither will there be any more mourning, nor crying, nor pain. After this thousand years, Satan will be allowed to once again create chaos, but only for a short time, the Bible says, and then he will be cast into the lake of fire forever. And then God says in Revelation chapter 21 that the new heavens and the new earth will be completely realized. And at that time, there will be no more mourning or crying or death. And so we see this interim period before the literal fulfillment of the new heavens and the new earth. This is such a rich and beautiful teaching. And when we think about Jerusalem these days, we think about chaos, violence, and unrest, but there is coming a future literal day, we call it a thousand years, a time of peace. And you can know that time of peace only if you have come to Christ and bowed down and confessed that you are in need of salvation and forgiveness. And Jesus says he will cleanse you of all of your shame and guilt when we come to him and ask for forgiveness. He will give us his peace. And then one day, the world will come to Jerusalem, all the nations, and there will be this beautiful thousand years of future millennial peace. It is a beautiful concept. It is a beautiful teaching. And I want you to hear now from Jeremy Camp a song that illustrates this called There Will Be a Day.
I try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end, His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that He brings, that there will be place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to You away. I know the journey seems so long. You feel you're walking on your own, but there has never been a step you've walked down all alone. Troubled soul, don't lose your heart, 'cause joy and peace He brings, and the beauty that's in store outweighs the hurt of life's sting. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that He brings, that there will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day.
Yeah.
Contemporary Christian Artist Jeremy Camp speaking of that glorious day. I want to thank everyone for listening to this important teaching today on the future millennial reign of Christ. I want to say God bless you, have a great weekend, and I will see you again on the cross in the desert on Monday morning. Have a blessed and prosperous weekend.